How many people are going to be saved? When we raise that question, we cannot help but think of just the opposite or the other side of the coin. And that is, how many people are going to be lost? Well, the Bible doesn't give us a figure or an exact number of the people that are going to be saved and the people that are going to be lost. It doesn't tell us that so many millions or billions are going to be lost and so many thousands or millions or whatever are going to be saved. But it does use the general terms few and many. And so what we find is that in Luke chapter 13, verse 23, there was a man that came to Jesus, and he was wondering about this question. And he said in Luke 13, verse 23, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" I don't know what prompted that question. I don't know why he asked that. The Bible does not tell us. But he was thinking about it. Are there few that be saved? And we need to ask that question today, and we need to be concerned about being in the number of the people that will be saved. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, we looked at this for just a little while yesterday, but I want to notice it again as we start, that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." So how many people are going to destruction? Jesus said, many. The destruction here that he's talking about is everlasting destruction. In Matthew 25:46, Jesus said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says that they shall be punished with everlasting destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. But then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, Jesus went on to say, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So Jesus said, few are the ones who are going to find eternal life. There will be few people who go to heaven, and many people will go to hell. Few people will go to heaven, but most people are lost and are going to go to hell. Now that goes contrary to what a lot of people think today. But it also means this, folks. It also means that the church is not going to be mainstream. It means that saved people, Christian people, are not going to be mainstream. They're not going to be popular. And you're not going to find that the world is going to appreciate Christians and Christianity like it should. So here in the world, we're going to be in the minority. But remember, folks, as you go through the Bible, you see many examples of people that were in the right, but they were in the minority. Now, for instance, Noah and his family entered into the ark. They were right. They were in the minority, but that didn't change anything. Most people were wrong, and most people perished in the flood. When you go to the book of Numbers and you read about the children of Israel in the wilderness, you find that most of those Israelite people died in the wilderness. They did not make it into the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb, two people, did enter into the promised land out of all those grown-ups who had left Egypt. What an amazing thing that is. And as you go through the Old Testament, you find time and again that God's people were often in the minority. For instance, you find Elijah, one prophet, one man, and he goes up against 450 false prophets of Baal. Again, in 1 Kings chapter 22, you find a prophet named Micaiah. Micaiah was one man who stood up against 400 false prophets. So many times this is the situation. God's people find themselves in circumstances where they're in the minority. Sometimes, as a child of God, Christians have to stand alone. But Jesus said that few will be the ones who find the way to eternal life. Jesus said it's always been that way, and it always will be that way. We're never going to be accepted and appreciated by the world. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, John said, "Marvel not if the world hate you." So if we think that we're going to draw the majority of people, if we think that we're going to take the Bible and get most people to believe it and obey it and follow it, then we're forgetting what Jesus said here, and we're forgetting what the rest of the Bible says about this, by so many precepts and so many examples. Now, the other side to that, of course, is that just because people are in the majority does not mean that they are right, because so many times the majority is wrong. In all those cases that we just looked at, you find that the majority was wrong. The majority of people were wrong about the flood and made the wrong decision. The majority of people did not act right in the wilderness as Israelite people. The majority of the prophets in Elijah's time, the majority of prophets in Micaiah's time were not right. They did not do what was right. And so, folks, the Bible is absolutely full of all kinds of examples about this. Now, let's go on in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, to see how Jesus answers this question, are there few that be saved? In verse 24, he said, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Jesus said there are going to be many who will try to get in, but they will not be able. Now, when he says they are not able or will not be able, that does not mean that they are not able from the standpoint that God did not give them the ability, that he did not give them the opportunity. He gave them free will and they made their choice. He means that they shall not be able because they are not seeking the right way. They're not trying to get in by the right path. They have the wrong motive about it, or they have waited too long. And in verse 25, Jesus said, when once the master of the house is risen up, and that would represent him, of course, and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Jesus said, here's how it's going to happen in that last day. He's talking about the end of time here, folks. He's talking about the day of judgment. And you will be there. I will be there. Everyone today will be there on the day of judgment. He said, when that day comes, it's going to be like this. It's going to be like a man who owns a house and he rises up and he shuts the door. Now, when he shuts the door, it's too late. It's too late to get in because he's made his mind up. He has opened the door before that. You see, this implies that the door was standing wide open until that time. And that represents the gospel call today. That represents the nature of the gospel and the nature of the church today. The door is standing wide open, folks. Jesus has opened the door. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. The Bible says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst say, come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. So God is giving opportunity. God has opened the door. If a man wants to be saved, he can be saved. But if he waits too long, if he waits until the day of judgment, or he waits until he dies, it's too late. He cannot reverse it. God is showing his love to everybody right now. He's showing his love to you by giving us all an opportunity, an open door invitation to partake of the spiritual blessing of salvation. If we reject it, if we refuse to go into that door, then whose fault is it? Who is to blame? Well, it would be us, wouldn't it? And that is the serious nature of what we're looking at here. I can't look at this story without thinking about the ark in the time of the flood. Because the Bible says in Genesis 6 and Genesis 7 that when Noah built that ark and he and his family and those animals entered into the ark, the Bible says that the day that that rain began, that God shut to the door. God shut him in. Now, when God shut that door, no man could open it. Nobody could get in then. It was too late. They had their opportunities before that. They had the invitation before that time. And so they rejected it, and now that the flood has begun, the rain has started, it's too late. And that's exactly what it's going to be like on the day of judgment. It'll be too late to get in then. It'll be too late to change things at that time. And the sad thing about this, folks, is that the majority of people ignore this. There are many people today whom, if they listen to this, if you tell them this teaching of Jesus Christ, that the door is standing open and you better get in, because if you don't, you're going to destruction. They listen to it and pay it absolutely no attention. It doesn't even faze them. All they can think about is going shopping. All they can think about is watching a movie or a television show. All they can think about is a ball game. All they can think about is something that they're doing in this present life, which they're going to shortly leave and then face God in judgment. This is what Jesus is talking about here. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us about. So the Bible says in verse 26, "Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and you have taught in our streets." Now this was literally true of the Jews, because Jesus did teach in their presence. Jesus did walk their streets. They saw him. They heard him. They were around him. Many of these people benefited by his miracles, and yet they would not obey him. They would not become followers of Jesus Christ. And how sad it's going to be on the day of judgment for these people. People we're talking about now who actually saw and heard Jesus Christ, who knew him, just like you know the people that you're around from day to day. They saw him. They were with him, but they rejected him. And on the day of judgment, that's going to come back to haunt them, because they're going to realize with all of the horror of their conscience that they made a grave mistake in turning down the Messiah. The Bible says in verse 27, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, they are last which shall be first, and they are first which shall be last." Jesus said, you're going to see all these people, all these great characters of the Old Testament. They're going to be allowed admittance into the kingdom of God. They're going to enter in, but you're not. Now, if you were a Jew in the first century, you would look at that and say, well, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets, these are the people that we've read about for all these years. Jesus said, you're not going to be with them. If you turn me down, if you reject me, if you refuse to come through the door while you can, then it's going to be too late once that day comes. Now, folks, let's apply that to you and to me and to our society today. There are many people today who are hearing the gospel. They have opportunities to obey the gospel, to walk in that door, but they're turning it down. How sad it is that there are thousands, yea, millions of people who have turned down the opportunity to walk through the open door of salvation that Jesus extends. And Jesus said on the day of judgment, they're going to be begging to come through that door, but God is not going to let them in. Folks, this says to you and I what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 reminds us of, and that is, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Remember, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful rest of the day.